So I think today is a good day to review the why, right? Why do we do what we do? Why do we bother putting forth effort into things? I think it's an important topic to review as you get older in life. Sometimes that why changes, right? And sometimes you just have a change of heart or a lot of things in life can happen. So what I want to do is I want to talk about some of my whys and help illustrate the importance of using your why as part of your motivator to do more, to do the best that you can, to be the best version of yourself, to be the highest level of yourself, if you will. And using myself as a guinea pig, you know, I'm not perfect, which is why I like to look at myself and reflect and then grow from there. I can compare myself to myself. Sometimes that's even hard to do because sometimes you have ups and downs, and if you get too caught on that, it can mess with your head. But yeah, so I'm 36, right? Some people are still younger and developing themselves. Some people haven't really, in their eyes, hit those high achievements that they wanted to hit. And I'm somewhere in the middle where I've hit some really high notes in my life. But even still, I have aspirations of doing more, of achieving more, of saying more and saying it in an articulate way. So that said, hello and welcome to FGC Philosophy. This has been kind of a road to mastery series. It started off with Street Fighter 6 and a couple other games actually, and has become sort of a ongoing theme within FGC Philosophy. And so I have a few topics to talk about that I think are really fun. There's a lot of good games out. There's my thoughts on those games. There's some games that I haven't even had a chance to play. There's some cool things that I'm working on, some side projects and things that I hope to do well. And there are some career goals and career events, I suppose, happening. And I want to talk about those things. So hello, my name is Tavian Napier. I am someone who's passionate about gaming, fighting games in particular, but gaming as a whole. I'm also the assistant director for Western Michigan University's esports program. So I oversee the whole program, including the arena, production, coaching, programming, all those different things, and even advising and helping with the esports minor that's happening on campus. So I'm very lucky to be able to do what I do. I'm also the founder of the Kalamazoo fighting game community. There's a lot of younger guys that help run it now, which I'm very thankful for, so that I can continue to do more and grow. But I have a passion for a lot of these things, and I haven't hit those notes that I want to hit, right? I have had to sit back and reflect on why I am doing what I'm doing. Because there's days where it's just a struggle to get out of bed. There's days where I just cannot convince myself to do the things that I need to do to be the best version of myself. And as I go through or revisit this journey that I was on before in the past, and now I'm on it again, but like 10 years later as a 36-year-old, there's a lot that I've thought about and a lot of things that I need to think about. And doing this podcast helps me to articulate some of those things. Doing this content helps me to get it out as a way of motivating myself to do more. It's hard to not put forth effort when you put it out there in the airwaves that you want to do something. But before we get into all the nitty-gritty, let's talk about a few of the games that have come out. In particular, there's Granblue Fantasy, which I haven't played as much, but it has been a very enjoyable game. If you watched my last episode, you heard me talking about it when I went to Frosty Faustings. I still enjoy the game, but a lot of the people that I was playing with just haven't seemed to be playing it or aren't playing it around the time that I am. And so I've really enjoyed my time with the game. I'm trying to figure out if I want to compete with the game. You know, that's kind of a big choice for someone my age to make that has all these responsibilities. So I'm trying to be very intentional about what I decide to compete in. Street Fighter VI, I still play. Actually, right now, as of recording this, the tournament should be getting ready to go, but I just had to do some other things and didn't want to commit to commentating and being in that tournament tonight. Instead, I figured I'd record this episode and then go check on my family to make sure everything's okay upstairs after the fact. So that said, Granblue Fantasy is a great beginner fighting game. If you're into fighting games, 2D fighting games in particular, and you don't mind the anime fantasy aesthetic, I highly recommend it. It's really fun. There's a big variety of characters. There's a little bit of balancing, but if you're new to fighting games, it's not that big a deal unless you're playing someone who's like super high level or you're really grinding ranked and you don't know how to play the game, which I don't recommend you doing. But just be forewarned. It's a fun game. It can be kind of complicated. It has a lot of depth to it, but it is simple inputs and also technical inputs. So you can do the old school or you can do the new school, which is really nice. I like that a lot of fighting games are doing that. I think Granblue implemented it very well, where there's kind of a reward or an incentive for doing the technical inputs, but it's not mandatory to win matches. I would say I do like 80-20, 80% easy inputs and 20% technical inputs, because you don't have to toggle them off and on. You can do both at the same time. So it's really nice. It's really nice to kind of take some thinking off of the execution and let you get into the meat and potatoes of the strategy of the chess of fighting game. So I highly recommend that one. I've really enjoyed it. I play a character named Grimnir, who's basically Swiftmaster 2.0. If you've ever played DNF Duel, you know who I'm talking about. I love the character. He's so cool. I like him a lot. And hopefully, if you're into the game, let me know. We'll run some sets. Now, the other game is Tekken 8. Tekken 8 dropped around the time of Frosty Faustings, maybe before, I don't know if it was the same week or the week after or whatever, but nonetheless, I wasn't planning on getting the game originally. And then I played the game at Frosty Faustings, and I also saw a lot of people talking about it. I saw how popular it was going to be, so I wanted to have at least one copy of the game for tournament purposes, and I did play it. Now, when I was getting this game originally, I had heard some whisperings that this game was similar to a game called Dead or Alive. If you're not familiar with Dead or Alive, it's popular for a couple of different reasons. One is it is the very scantily clad game. If you remember the Evo from like 3 or 4 years ago now, geez, it was the core values DOA, because it's well known for having like really scantily clad women. They had the beach game a long time ago that was like just beach volleyball with a bunch of girls in bikinis. That's what they're kind of known for in some ways, but the game itself is actually very good. I grew up playing a lot of DOA. The two main games that I played a lot of was DOA 2 Extreme, which was a recreation of Dead or Alive 2, but on the regular Xbox for Xbox Live. So DOA 1 and 2 actually had online capabilities, because I believe originally it was only on PS2 and maybe Dreamcast or something. So it didn't really have online capability, but they re-released it after 3 came out, and I think before 4, or maybe after 4 actually, I don't remember. Before 4, because it was on original Xbox. DOA 4, if you recall that game, was on the 360. And that was a game that had the Spartan from Halo, not Master Chief, but it was Spartan 458, I think was her name. Lisa was the character's name, if I recall correctly. And that game was great. I played the crap out of both of those games for a long time. They're both 3D fighters like Tekken or Soul Calibur. But that was my game. I played with a lot of people. I had a lot of friends. There's even a big streamer/YouTuber that makes content on the game, Emery Reigns, that I grew up with. Or I guess he grew up with me. He's younger than me. I kind of got him into the game, according to him. I don't remember this, so I can't claim that this is the truth. But this is what he says, is that I got him into this game at a young age. My friend was his younger brother, and we were neighbors as well. So it was really, really cool to see that someone is doing so well that I guess I helped inspire. but that's just like really awesome. So anyways, I've been playing Tekken 8. I play a character called Azucena, which is like the cooler version of Lucky Chloe, if you remember that character. If you don't remember it, don't worry about it. It's basically a dancing character like Eddie Goro, but not capoeira, more of like a mixed martial arts style, but like with some dancing and evasion, almost like a cooler version of drunken boxing, if you can imagine that. I really like drunken boxing, and I like misdirection with fighting styles, and it's cool to be able to beat people up and dance at the same time. But my personal enjoyment of that character alone, the game itself is great. The biggest thing that I feel like I have to talk about first is the training tools. Now, there's some people who are casual, and this might not be attractive to you, but for people who are into fighting games and want to get better, this is one of the best AAA fighting games that you can get into for like learning, because the biggest thing to me that every AAA fighting game needs to have moving forward, and there's no excuse for this, is I don't know what to call it, but it's takeover replays. So I can go to a replay, I can play a match, I lose or I win, and I want to see what happened. I can go into that replay, and at any point in that replay, I can take over and act out the situation. So let's say I block something, but it's punishable and I didn't punish it. Now I can go back to before that event. I can let it play, and until you press a button, it doesn't let you take over. It kind of just autopilots what happened in the actual replay. But you, any point after you take over, you can press a button and figure out the scenario. So if someone's doing a lot of attacks on you, you don't know how to beat it, or maybe you're doing a combo string and you don't know how to end it or continue the combo, you can just immediately after a match go and do that. That is insane to me. Now, I know this isn't the first fighting game to do it, so before you tell me that, I know this is the first fighting game that I've seen implement it. The only other game that I know that does it is one of the Under Night games, and I'm not really interested in that game. I'm sorry, it's a cool game, but I'm not grinding that game. It's not for me. It's a commitment to play fighting games, and while I might try it out casually at locals or at a venue, I'm not grinding that game right now, and I'm not buying it until it gets cheaper, because it's not popular enough to justify that. Whereas Tekken, on the other hand, super popular game, very well known, very established, especially in the Midwest. There's some strong players in Detroit, and I believe in Chicago. I don't know about some of the other surrounding areas, but it's a fun game, and some of the people that I know locally have been getting into it, and I've been playing it a good bit. I like being able to play the game, not know what I don't like the part where I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I do like that I'm able to go back and figure it out like immediately. Like something's really bothering me, or if I'm losing to it multiple times, all right, go look at the replay. Now, the other training tools are very nice. There's a lot of things that you're probably used to, like the frame data. They have an in practice mode combo trial. So you don't have to go somewhere else to get to the combo trials. It's really nice that you can press start, go to the combos. You can watch a video of it. If you do the challenges, it'll take you to like a different part of the training mode where it's just that, and it'll let you cycle through the different combos, or you can just practice one specifically, or you can put the combo at the top of your screen and just have it as a reminder of what you're trying to practice, but just in the actual practice mode. And then from there, you can do a bunch of cool things like practicing your punishes. There's a whole punish section. So if you pick, like, let's say you pick Kazuya or Jin, one of the Mishimas, and you have a problem with dealing with something, you can go to the punish training, and a lot of the more well-used moves or more popular moves I think are going to be in there. I haven't tested this extensively yet, but it's just nice to be able to have everything packaged in the practice menu, which if you think about it for longer than a couple of seconds, it makes sense that like everything should be packaged within the practice menu. Yeah, you should be able to maybe access some of this stuff outside of it, but the fact that I can access my combo trials and my punishment training from the same mode of practice mode is really nice. And I haven't fully explored it, but there's some really cool options in terms of, like, let's say you want to test a specific punish. Like, you don't want to do the punish training. You want to set the dummy to block, then you want to set the dummy to do an action afterwards. It Tekken has a lot of moves. So this is important to understand that Tekken has, like, each character probably has listed like 80 to 100 things on their list. That's very intimidating at first. However, as you get more comfortable with the game, you realize that you don't have to memorize all these things. And in doing that, when you're setting the dummy to react to what you do, like, okay, on hit, I want him to try to mash this button. It's pretty straightforward. It's like, okay, this is a high attack, this is a mid attack, this is a low attack, it's fast. And so they make it very clear. And without getting into the nitty gritty of the mechanics of Tekken, it's just nice to be able to have some control about what you want the character to do. Because it's a 3D fighter, there's more to consider in terms of neutral or movement or spacing, because you can sidestep moves, you can duck under moves, you can jump over moves, and it's a little bit more regular. It's a little bit more, you'll see it more often, I guess is what I'm trying to say, at least in my eyes. And it's very exciting when it happens and it feels good. The attack startup is a little bit slower, like the wind up before it actually hits is a little bit slower. So it's a lot easier to react, not easy to react, but it's easier to react than like a 2D fighter a lot of times. So it's a really, really cool game. I don't know yet if I want to compete in the game, but I am just grinding it and getting good at it. I'm decent at the game. I'm looking to learn some other characters if I have some free time to do so. I learned 3D fighters a lot faster than 2D fighters, even though I don't play a lot of 2D fighters anymore. Or 3D fighters, excuse me. But yeah, I can't recommend it enough. It is a little pricey. It is $70. For me, it's work related, so I can justify buying that game. But if you're on the fence about it, if you're a really hardcore fighting game fan and you can commit to playing the game and you're okay with like losing a bunch, then I highly recommend it. It's a great game. If you're more on the casual side, I'd say wait for a Steam sale. Summer's on the way, or I think there's gonna be a spring sale as well. So keep an eye out for that. I do highly recommend it. It's a very fun game. It's a nice break from Street Fighter. Street Fighter's been hurting my hand lately. My hand's been like flaring up a lot. I think because at Frosty Fossings, I played a bunch of fighting games, and I tend to tense up when I'm playing Street Fighter a little bit too much. And so until I build my new hitbox, I'm going to be probably not playing as much of the game as I normally do. But speaking of building a hitbox, that is another project that I'm working on. I'm working with a couple of friends who are engineers, and I actually bought a 3D printer. I've been learning how to use it, and it has been a fun little side project. I am pretty sure that I'm going to recoup my money fairly quickly from buying this thing. You know, for people who are listening to the audio only version, you're not gonna be able to see this, but I have in my hand a headphone holder. It's hard to tell at first, but this piece right here, you can kind of hear it rattling a little bit. It's made out of PLA, made out of plastic. I 3D printed this. It has like a threaded screw, and it basically latches on to the bottom of your desk, and your headphone just sits on the little loop right there. And I 3D printed this. It took a couple of tries to get it right. And I'm glad that I have a degree in like the 3D animation, because that's going to help me a lot in the long run. So, I'm planning on building a hitbox that's a little bit more ergonomic, that's going to have 30 mil buttons instead of the traditional 24 mil buttons. I don't know. I'm a 6'5" guy. I've been saying this before. I don't need no small hitbox and small buttons. I need a larger one that lets me kind of spread out a little bit more and doesn't hurt my hands and clump them up so much. I have more space to do stuff with these giganto hands. Now, I'm not even that big. Like, there's people who have larger hands than me, even if they're shorter than me. So I'm not like ridiculous. So I know there's other people out there. Now, I don't have any aspirations of selling hitboxes myself, but there is a guy, one of the two engineers I talked about, who does have his own company, Poverty Box Customs. And my hope is to help him grow his company and maybe be a partner to an extent and help him with growing that. And I'm hoping that he has a line for, you know, XL version for taller people or for bigger people or people who just want traditional regular size buttons rather than the smaller ones that a hitbox normally comes with. If I can help him, that'd be great. If not, then, you know, I still have a hitbox that I'm designing. I have all the money aside for the components and everything, especially with Tekken and some of the other games coming out. I would like a proper hitbox. Mine doesn't have the SOCD cleaner, so I can't do any of the shortcuts with wave dashes or anything like that. So I'm doing everything all natural. my Korean backdashes are not there yet, but yeah, it's just, it's an exciting thing, a new venture for me, and I think something that'll be useful around the house as I find other things to create, as well as, you know, fun things like my D&D figure that I'm going to be printing out later tonight. Anywho, so let's get on to the main topic, and that is reflecting on your why. Now, I don't have a script, I don't have an outline, so this is all me, stream of consciousness coming at you right now. For me, when I first started my journey on personal growth, and even competition to a degree, I think there was a lot of ire or animosity towards my youth and the people that were in my life. And so I'm kind of person that does a lot when I'm angry, but I'm also the kind of person that doesn't tend to get angry. So it takes a lot to get me mad, but it also does help push me forward. As I got older and when I really wanted to grow and work on my health and my mind, I used that anger to channel my energy into something. And so I had this very narrow field of vision of just, these are the things that you're going to do, and this is why. Because there's so many people that were telling you you can't do things, or people that were picking on you, all these other things, you know, rejection, people who rejected me in the past, using that as a way to fuel myself to prove them wrong. Proving people wrong has been a strong motivator for me. I'm at a place now where I don't really care what other people say, so I can't use that as the same kind of motivation as I used to use, because I'm a lot more easygoing. I don't have a lot of pent up rage for things like I did before, and my life has changed significantly. I run an esports program, and I run an arena that has 36 gaming PCs, seats 200, has a full scale production with a commentary room as well. Like, I've got a crazy job where I do a bunch of crazy stuff and organize tournaments, and I have like one of the best esports coaches come here to do an event for us. I'm working with other companies and like selling, you know, making thousands of dollars or hundreds of, I would say tens of thousands of dollars for the program. I'm in a different level of work. I'm also a husband and a father, and there's a lot to balance, and that is hard for me to do with the way my brain works, and especially with the amount of energy that I currently have. And I've really had to sit down and think about a lot of things, about my health, about my habits, about my routine, and I have to constantly remind myself to figure out why I'm doing this. And without giving it enough like conscious thought, you know, a lot of times I have this habit of not sitting down with nothing on, no phone, no TV, nobody around me, not even music, and just kind of sitting in silence and reflecting and thinking about why I do stuff. And that gets into the realm of distraction. And even your why can become kind of blurry or unfocused if you don't give yourself enough space. And so this is me calling myself out for always trying to be doing something, right? You know, if I'm doing laundry, if I'm just like walking from point A to point B, I want to have an audiobook or like a YouTube video, even if I'm not watching the YouTube video, just playing the audio, I want to have something there. And I've had to call myself out on that several times and be like, just, you don't need that for like walking from here to there. You don't need to do that. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because it's hard to focus and remember your why if you're not doing it on a daily basis, which sounds tedious, but hey, if you want something, 10 minutes to 30 seconds to a minute or two to think about what you want is worth it. Okay, it is worth that time. It is very easy to be caught up in feeling like you don't have enough time while simultaneously wasting your time doing arbitrary stuff, right? This isn't for everybody, but for me personally, that's been the experience where I'm taking too long to do certain things that are just really easy, being on my phone a little bit longer than I should be. And that takes away from my mental bandwidth. That takes away from my focus. And for me with ADD, it's important to protect that with my life. And so that gives me more space to think about, why the heck am I doing this? Why am I getting out of bed? Why am I doing these things? For some people, that's easy. For me, I've had depression. You know, I've been very open about that. You know, I've taken some medication in my older age since the pandemic. It is something that is really hard to articulate if you don't or have never experienced this kind of mindset. And I don't know if it will be, I don't know if it's necessary to have a trigger warning per se, but because I'm talking about depression, and I guess the term nowadays is like self-deletion, if you catch my drift, those were things that were like a daily thing for me. Those were thoughts in my head that I had to battle while trying to go throughout my day. During the pandemic, a lot of that came back, and I was not prepared for that because I had been so long dealing with that. And now that I'm out of it and I can feel that I'm out of it. You know, every now and then I have some bouts, especially during the winter time where there's not a lot of sun or if I don't get a lot of sleep, I feel that coming back. And I know that that's a thing, but it is still very hard to combat and still be efficient. So you're on one side, you're trying to fight off any sort of negative thoughts that would lead to self-harm. On the other side, you're just trying to do the best that you can. And it's really hard to hit that higher echelon if you're also, you know, kind of dragging yourself down in a way. And again, this isn't going to relate to everybody, but I think a lot of people can resonate with what I'm saying. And the biggest thing, there's no one size fit all, right? So I'm sharing my experience so that you can figure out for yourself what you might need to do. For me, it is just taking a step back to think, taking a step back to breathe, taking a step back to feel how I feel, letting myself feel my emotions. It is an instinct at this point to, I don't want to say repress my emotions, but it is very easy to overlook or ignore them. As I've gotten older and matured, a lot of things just don't bother me. But sometimes things do bother me, but I know how to move on from them. But sometimes they'll sit there or they'll keep happening. And after a while, if it keeps happening, I'm like, all right, now I'm about to go off because I'm tired of dealing with this nonsense. So instead of doing that, you know, being proactive rather than just being complacent, right? There's a lot to discuss within this topic, but I just want to be short and as concise as possible, as concise as I can be. It is really important to have a why, I think. For people who maybe struggle going through life, for people who don't, you know, if you've ever asked yourself, why am I here? You know what I mean. If you understand what I'm saying, you get it. If you don't, then good on you. You're doing well in life. Continue on. But if you've asked yourself, you know, why am I here? Or why am I doing this? Or why should I care? Things along those lines, then hopefully this resonates with you. Hopefully you can find a why for you. For me now, it's my family. It's, you know, my direct family. Like my wife and my son, but my extended family as well. I don't, or my blood family, family, you know, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my niece. Now I'm an uncle, you know, Uncle Tavian, Uncle Philosopher, Uncle Phil. you know, so I'm trying to do more. I also have the Kalamazoo FGC and Western Michigan University's esports program and the club, esports club at Western. You know, I want to do more for them because the more that I accomplish, the more that other people are able to experience, you know. For a lot of people on the varsity team, the highlight of their experience on the esports team is traveling to one of our regular invitationals, which is in Indiana, and having a 2-day tournament where they get a hotel, you know, their hotel's covered, the food's covered, the travel's covered. They just go there and play video games and compete and then, you know, hang out for a little bit and go back home. That for a lot of people, that's a great experience. I'm a bit jaded because I've been to so many tournaments and, you know, I've been around them that like I don't get starstruck, but seeing them excited is a great feeling for me. And I want to continue to give that experience to a lot of people. I want the KZU FGC to grow and I want it to be able to be a paid job for a lot of these people. There are a lot of people who want to do what they like and it's hard to motivate themselves to do stuff they don't like. Now, I'm from an era where you work hard and you deal with it and you get over it and then you make your situation better. That was the mentality I had. I had crappy jobs while dreaming and working towards my dream goals and aspirations. I got over the fact that I hated jobs. I hauled lumber. You know, I drove forklifts like Shenmue. I did a lot of stuff that I did not like doing in order to get to where I am now. Some people, they just don't have that in them. And I'm not saying that's wrong or right. That's just the reality of it. Some people just don't have that kind of fortitude and just want to do what they want to do. And if they don't, then they kind of halt in life. So if I can provide an opportunity for some of these people to do what they love doing, whether or not they're able to do stuff they don't like doing to make ends meet, I want to be that person. And that requires me to pursue excellence and to have good habits. I am not there yet, but I'm not doing terrible. I've done some stuff. And for me, the hardest part is giving myself credit for my accomplishments. And for a lot of other people, I know that's an issue. And it is important as you go through life, at least for me, from my perspective, to acknowledge the stuff that you've done. And I think of one person in particular, I'm not going to say their name, but this person just cannot take a compliment. This person cannot accept any achievements that they've done. If you're the kind of human being that cannot accept things that you've done, it, more than likely what's happening for anybody that's like that, that's listening, is you're already saying, I haven't achieved anything. When in fact, if you took yourself out of your bias, you probably have achieved a lot. You just don't want to give yourself credit for it, or you don't see why that's an accomplishment. But it doesn't matter what you think sometimes. Sometimes it does. A lot of times it does. But sometimes you have to take yourself out of your own bias against yourself. For some people, you got to flip that. You gotta be more biased against yourself and stop being so arrogant and conceited, and actually see that you haven't accomplished what you think you've accomplished. And for some other people, it's like I said, give yourself the compliment, acknowledge what you've done. It is okay to acknowledge what you've done and still continue to strive to do better. You don't have to consistently or constantly hate on yourself and act like you haven't done anything and only point out your faults. It is important to point out your successes as well. So some people need to hear that, and I will be the person to say, stop that nonsense. Give yourself a compliment, take the compliment. If someone else compliments you, shut up, say thank you. Don't argue with them. I don't want to hear it, because I've heard this so many times. So I'm sorry for the people who might be feeling called out right now, but stop not taking the compliment. Enjoy it. Think about it. If it's something that's practical, see what it is and try to replicate it if it's relevant. If not, then, you know, take the compliment. Don't let it get stuck on your ego and move on, right? Just be grateful that someone thinks you did a great job. I'm saying that because I am the person who was like that for the longest time. Like, I felt physically uncomfortable when people complimented me. I didn't know how to take a compliment. Like, literally, I didn't know how to receive a compliment, both socially and emotionally, for the longest time. And it took a long time to just start saying thank you, even though I didn't really feel the compliment. I didn't accept the compliment. I still just said thank you socially. After a while, I'm like, you know, I still kind of just accept it socially. And if it's something that's like, okay, this was a good event, why are you saying I did a good job, right? Because some people will just blow smoke up your ass, and I don't like that. If you think I did a good job, then you have an explanation to give me, or I don't really care about the compliment. And that doesn't mean I'm gonna like say I don't care to them, but like, it's a compliment, thank you, move on. Or it's a compliment, can you give me some feedback on like what was good about it? You know, what do you think I could do better? Take that opportunity to learn and grow, right? So the main topic was rediscovering your why, but in order to do that, there's a lot of clutter that I had to get out of my way, and maybe you do too. So hopefully this was helpful for you and gives you something to think about. And for those who know how to reach out to me or want to reach out to me, I love talking about this stuff. I do have a Discord. The Kalamazoo FGC Discord is the one that I'm more active in, and we have a section in the Discord that's for like personal growth related conversations. So feel free to post in there. I think I'm gonna start posting my episodes in there for people to talk about. I hate plugging my own stuff. I rarely market my own content nowadays. This is more of a practice for me to put it out there and to work. But if I'm gonna be putting time towards something, I want to recuperate some stuff. So my ask for you is, please share this out. Get the conversation going with other people. If you think this is useful, please like it, follow or subscribe, whatever platform you're on. I'm trying to be on all the things: YouTube, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, all the good stuff. That said, thank you guys so much for your patience, your support, and I will see you all in the next one.